this morning, I want to, we're not in a series. We concluded Boundaries last week, and we're going to start Missions Week next week. So I have a message just for today. Is that okay? I think it's an important message for all of us. It's the idea of being needed and known. A few weeks ago, I was part of a gathering of pastors in Florida, and it was in this room where some of the leading pastors in the country. And the speaker, if I mentioned his name, a lot of you would know who it is because he's one of the leading pastors in the country. You know, he's got a small, struggling church of, you know, that meets in 8 states and 67 different locations, and they have 160 services on a weekend. We should pray for them that God would do something good in their ministry. Right? I'm joking, by the way, okay? But he said some things about ministry that really made an impact on me. And in this digital culture that we live in, especially in the American culture, he talked about this idea, the principle of being needed and known. And I pulled out a few of his quotes of what he said because I think they're very important for us. Here's what he said. He said, people want to be part of a spiritual community. If your services, and he's talking about our church services, if your services do not provide interaction, more and more people will equate listening to a podcast in the gym on Tuesday morning as equivalent of a church service. And how many know that's already happening? People are replacing going to church with, hey, I'm listening to a podcast. Here's what else he said. He said, millennials, talking about the younger generation, refuse to watch. He says they want to be engaged. Artificial intimacy is a hallmark of their generation. We need to engage them in community. So he's saying, if you want to connect with the younger generation, it's not just about putting on a good show. You've got to connect with them. And here's one last thing he said. He said, more often than not, what keeps people involved in a church is a relationship or a responsibility, a place where everyone is needed and everyone is known. Now, these are wise words from a great pastor, but it's more than just good advice. These are biblical words. This is a biblical principle of what God has always intended the church to be. As a matter of fact, I believe as we get closer to the return of Jesus, we're hearing the voice of God calling the church back to its original form. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, when Jesus was resurrected from the grave, he spent 40 days with his followers, 10 days the disciples spent in the upper room, and then the day of Pentecost came, and many people look at that as the beginning of the church or the birth of the church, and we are now in the church age. But I think it's interesting to see how Luke describes what the church was like at the very beginning, and I want to look at Acts chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 42. Look at what he says. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together. Everybody say together. They met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple. Look how often. Every day. They went to church every day. And they met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And every day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. How many know that's a picture of what God has always intended the church to be? Now, I want to pull just a couple principles out of this, and because I think what we want to understand as a church is we want to be the kind of church God wants us to be. At our church, at Grace Assembly of God, we don't want to just have great services and do a lot of things well. We want to be a biblical church. We want to reflect what the Bible says we should be. Let me understand what I'm saying. So we've got to define what that looks like. And I think just two simple principles we can pull out of this. Here's the first one today. God's plan is for believers to be in community. God's plan is for believers to be in community. Now what that means is, you know, God's plan is for everybody to be in a place where you are known. Now look at what it says here in Acts chapter 2. We already read it, verse 46. They worshiped together. Everybody say together. at the temple every day, and they met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared meals with great joy and generosity. So they met together, they went to church together, but they also shared meals together, and they met in each other's homes together. How many know they did more than just go to church? They also met in each other's homes. They shared meals. They prayed for each other. That is a spiritual community. And God wants all of us here to be part of a spiritual community of believers because they didn't just belong to God, they belong to each other. How many would agree that every one of us is created with this innate need to belong to something? We're not wired to be alone. The scripture says it's not good for man to be alone. Ecclesiastes says, you know, three are better than two. You know, two are better than one. And so we're all created with this desire and this need to belong to something. Now, I learned this early on. Most of you know that I grew up in the church, and my dad was my pastor. And he pastored a general Baptist church, which is very different from a specific Baptist church. That's all I got. All right. General Baptist church. So anyway, but now my dad was spirit-filled and our church was spirit-filled. I mean, it was as Pentecostal as anything I've ever seen. And so it kind of didn't fit with the Baptist church. And so he learned about the Assemblies of God, of which this church is part of that fellowship. And so he made the transition out of the General Baptist into the Assemblies of God. Now, he had to do some education to be qualified for that. And so there were several years that he wasn't the pastor. And so we started attending First Assembly of God in Columbus, Indiana. And so when we started attending there, I go from being the pastor's kid that everybody knew, which was both a positive and a negative. All the pastor's kids said amen, right? To going to a church where nobody knew who I was. As a matter of fact, my family was kind of a big family. We had five kids and various and sundry foster children who lived with us at any given time. And so we would roll up in this 1973 Pontiac Catalina, which we affectionately called the boat. And we would fill up an entire pew of people. But for the first few months, people didn't know my name. They referred to me as a Murray boy. And I just remember thinking, I have a name, you know. It would be great. And I'll never forget one particular Sunday morning service. It was some teenagers from that church walked over to where I was sitting, introduced themselves to me and say, hey, we want you to come sit with us. That's a powerful moment for me as a 12-year-old kid. Are you getting this today? Every one of us has a desire to belong, to be known by somebody else. Are you with me today? And that's why God's created the church. I want you to look at what Paul describes the church in 1 Timothy 3. He says, I want you to know how people who are members of God's family must live. God's family is what? God's family is the church. God's church is a family. And what that means is church is not just something you go to. Church is something you belong to. I'm going to say that again. Church is not just a building where you go to experience church services. A church is a community of believers that we belong to. The Bible says it's a family. And how many know families are a place where you're accepted? Families are a place where you're loved. Families are a place where people know your name. And that's what God wants us to be as a church. And so we want to be the family of believers. In fact, we've got to recognize how the enemy is working here because the enemy works overtime to isolate us from spiritual community. He wants us to be separated because there's so much life and so many good things that happen when we're belonging together and we're committed to one another, when we're part of a spiritual community. He works so hard to keep us separated from one another, and we can't let that happen. Now, I think one of the ways I want to illustrate this is so many times we come to church, and I want you, I mean, we're sitting in rows, and everybody's facing, looking at me. And all you see a lot of times is the back of people's heads. But I want to challenge you, let's not let that be our church. We just come and watch. Let's be a spiritual community. Matter of fact, I'm always amazed at people in our church that I know you and you know me, but you don't know each other. I'm amazed by that. I'm like, how can you go to this church and not know who so-and-so is? Let me illustrate it, okay? Don't be nervous. I'm coming where you are. All right? Now, how many would agree there's some amazing people who attend our church? All right, good. Keep the house lights 100% up. Now, we've got people who used to travel with the power team and break bricks and stuff like that. You know, they go to our church, you know. We got people who are from all over the world. We got all kinds of awesome people. All right, I'm looking. Let's see what the Holy Spirit leads me to. Okay, here we go. All right, who am I going to pick? All right. Hey, Matthias, would you stand up real fast? Matthias Grant, everybody say hello, Matthias. He and his wife, Danielle, recently moved to Indiana from Florida, and he was a pastor, and so we're glad that they found us, and we found them. And this is Matthias's parents from Sweden. Welcome them. Come on, stand up, you guys. They're here today. Awesome. That's pretty cool. All right. Hey, everybody's nervous. Will I come to you? No, I'm not. I'm going to go over here. All right, this is Jesse and Charity Muchai. Stand up. Can I go by it? This is Rebecca. Everybody say hello, Rebecca. All right, here we go. Stand up, all you guys. All right, yeah, I love you too. Praise you. This is Jesse Muchai, his wife Charity, and Eva, and Victor, and Christabel, and Vicky. All right, have you been going to our church how long?
15 years.
That's a long time. All right, so we know each other. We love each other. We practically grown up together. And you guys are originally from where?
From Kenya.
Right. And so, been part of our church for a long, long time. And Charity, you've recently graduated with a degree in what?
Counseling.
Okay. So, everybody get that? She's your counselor, right? And so, amen. So, everybody say hello to Jesse and Charity and their family. Isn't that great? Awesome. Now, let me ask you a question. How many are here? You were born in another country, or your parents were born in another country? Stand up real fast. You were born in another country, or your parents were. Look at all that. Come on, somebody, give it up for Jesus. What an awesome church. You say, Pastor, I can't believe you did that. And my thing is, I can't believe you didn't do that. I mean, you've been sitting by them for 6 months, and you don't even know their name. Okay? Which is why we did this. Today, we're going to take a few minutes at the end of the service and give you a chance to meet some people, because how many know it's important to people when you remember their name? Anybody ever had a time when somebody forgot your name? How'd that make you feel? Not very good. Let's not let that happen here. Let's commit to being a spiritual community. Somebody say amen. Now, one thing you need to know is that this is especially important for people who attend church for the first time. Do you know that most people visit the church online before they ever come to the physical building? Statistically, more than 90% of people, before they ever visit a church, have already watched a service online. Hello, everybody. Come on. Now, one of the reasons is because it's a big deal to go to a church for the first time. You know, they come in this place and look at you people. Some of you are just, you know, awesome. But we've got to recognize, when we don't recognize somebody, they may be here for the very first time. And we can't let the enemy play tricks in their mind. Oh, those people don't like you and that person, blah, blah, blah. When that wasn't the case at all. How many are getting what I'm saying? We want to create a spiritual community where everybody is known and needed. Amen? Now, here's the second principle from Acts chapter 2 I want you to see, is that God's plan is for believers to be in ministry. We see this again in Acts chapter 2, where everyone is needed. Would you say, I am needed? Acts chapter 2, we're going to see it again. All the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Now, I want you to notice in this verse a couple things. First of all, I want you to notice that everyone took personal responsibility to meet other people's needs. Everybody in the first church said it's not just the pastor's responsibility, it's our responsibility to meet one another's needs. Do you see that here in the church? Now, not only were needs met, which is pretty awesome, but I want you to also notice that the need to be needed was met. The need to be needed. You say, what are you talking about? every one of us have been created not with just a need to be known, but a need to be needed. That my life is making a difference. That I'm actually contributing to something. That I'm not just here taking up space, going to work, going home, and just, you know, recycle again and again and again. Your life has purpose. God made you for a reason. And so every one of us here, I want you to see here in Acts chapter 2, the model for the church, the pattern for the church, is everybody using their gifts and talents to the benefit of other people. Are you seeing this? God wants every believer to be part of ministry. Now, I want you to notice, again, in Acts chapter 2, clearly this is not a top-down leadership model where everybody at the top, so to speak, does all of the work. Everybody shares responsibility. Do you see that? We see it happen in Acts chapter 6. A little bit later, some trouble begins to develop because there's some widows not getting food. And how many know when you're not getting food, that leads to a spiritual thing called hangry? All right, so they started complaining, which, by the way, they started complaining in the midst of a great revival, which means you can go to the perfect church in the whole world and there's still going to be people complaining. It's just people. And so the question is, how do you respond when there's a need? So the apostles decided, hey, we're not going to try to put 26 hours in a 24-hour day. Let's do something different. Let's invite other people into the process of meeting these needs. And that's exactly what happened. And the church continued to multiply and continue to grow. I want to show you that when we follow this model where everybody shares responsibility, the church grows. I want to say that again. When we follow this model of ministry in Acts chapter 2, the gifts of God begin to be activated in the church. Many of those gifts that have been dormant for a long time, and all of a sudden, you don't just come to church and watch and be a spectator. All of a sudden, you become a participator, and the gifts and calling of God begin to be activated, and something good begins to happen. See, there's a problem in our American culture right now. Part of it is the digital age that we live in, but we've created a culture of consumers of religious goods and services where we just come and watch. We watch the worship, you know, because it's so cool. You know, we listen to the message, and it's so cool, and the pastor's so cool. Right? And the building's so cool, and the programs are so cool. You know, but listen, God did not create the church to be cool. God created the church to change your life and change people's life around you. And so instead of being spectators, we've got to become participators. Instead of being consumers of religious goods and services, where all of a sudden churches start to compete over the same people, let's become disciples of Jesus and recognize that God's given me something to share, because everybody's got a story, everybody's got a talent, everybody's got a gift, everybody's got a testimony. Come on, somebody. And God wants you to use that to be a blessing to somebody else, because you have a need to be needed. That's what we want our church to be. We need you in this church family. I'm going to say it again. We need you in this church family. Some of you, the enemy's been lying to you. Nobody needs me. We need you in this church family. We need your gift. We need your talent. We need your story. We need your experience. We need your skill. I can't do it all. The pastors can't do it all. The staff can't do it all. That is not the picture of the church that God wants to have. God wants a church full of people who are activated and serving in some way. Good preaching, Pastor Wayne. Thank you very much. Now, here's the third principle from this. And that is, people need both a relationship and responsibility. It's how God has created us, right? It's how he's wired us. We need a relationship. We're made for people, and we're made for ministry. We're made for people. We're made for ministry. Isn't that pretty simple? We're made for people. We're made for ministry. We need to be in relationship with others, and we need responsibilities to serve the Lord. And this is how God's wired us, and this is what the church is intended to be. Now, I want to show you what happens when we do church differently, when we approach church differently. Tom Rainer is an expert in research for the American church, especially in the 21st century. He wrote a book called I Will, and based on his research, I want to show you what he found. He said church members who became involved in some type of group in the churches were 5 times more likely to be active in the church 5 years later compared to those who only attended worship services More than 83% of those who joined and were involved in a small group were still active in the churches 5 years later. Now, what's he saying? He's saying if you only come to church, you only come on Sunday morning, you come, you know, you're here and you leave. You're not involved in a small group. You're not on a ministry team. You don't get involved at whatever level. Here's what the research says. 83% of you won't be here in 5 years. Did you hear that? Because that's not how you were wired. That's not how you were created. You weren't created to be a spiritual tumbleweed, moving from place to place, blown around with no roots and no strength and no maturity. Come on, somebody. We were made to be part of a family. We were made to be known and needed. We were made to be in relationship and be in responsibility, right? And so Rainer goes on to say, he says, if you only attend church on Sundays, you're not involved in a group, you're not serving on a ministry team, he says, you are more likely to become disenchanted with your church, you're more likely to become a critic rather than an encourager, and you're more likely to drop out of your church. Are you getting this? So getting involved in a group, serving on a ministry team, that's not just a good idea. It's a matter of spiritual growth. It's a matter of spiritual survival. It's a matter of the church becoming all that we should be in the 21st century. Anybody see this? It's so simple, so powerful. So how do we do that? How do we move from being consumers of religious goods and services to becoming a community of believers where everyone is needed and known? Well, it doesn't happen by accident, because our culture works against us. Our culture wants to create spectators. And let's be honest, I'm going to say it again, even the American church culture is creating spectators. So we have to go counterculture and do these things on purpose. What I'm saying is this is not going to come natural. The altar call I'm going to ask you to do today is not going to come natural to you. It has to happen with intentionality. Let me give you one more quote before I tell you what that is. Gina McLean wrote a book, Two Keys to Community. She said, the 60-second conversation in the lobby can go far toward communicating to someone that you care about who they are and not the image they're trying to present. The 30-second invitation that you extend, inviting another to join you as you serve. Helping people feel needed and known doesn't take a lot of time on Sundays. It does take intentionality. So here are 10 things that we can do on purpose to make our church a spiritual community, more like Acts chapter 2. Are you ready to write these down? Yes, I am, Pastor Wayne. Thank you very much. Here we go. Here's the first one. If we're going to become a spiritual community, then everybody's got to take ownership. What that means is this is my church. This is my family. And take ownership of everything that happens here at our church. This is not Pastor Wayne's church. This is not your church. This is my spiritual family. And so if one of us hurts, all of us hurts. If one of us rejoices, we all rejoice. Are you getting this today? Take ownership. And if you've been here more than one Sunday, I'm telling you, we're taking you in. We're adopting you. Boom, you're here. You're in like Flynn. Somebody, you're praying for a word from the Lord. Here it is right now.
You should be part of Grace Assembly of God.
Did that voice sound like the voice of God at all? Hopefully it wasn't the voice of something else. All right, take ownership. Number two, reach outside your own circle of friends. Reach outside your own circle of friends. It's amazing. After every service, Tracy and I, we're always out. We're at the door. We're talking to people. It's amazing. Every service, I float from group to group. And it's the same people. Talking to the same people every time. They're all related to each other. They all know each other. They all been going to church together for the same time. It is an amazing, somebody else should do a study of this. Charity, you're a counselor. You should study the dynamics of what's going on. Everybody just gravitates to their group. And I just want to pull my hair out. So we've got to reach outside your own circle of friends. Now, I'm not saying abandon your circle of friends, but how about including other people? in your circle of friends, especially that person's here for the first time, especially that person that the enemy is working overtime to make them think what the church is not, and we should be showing them what the church is. Come on, somebody, I'm preaching now, all right? And so, and then number four, learn and remember other people's names. See, you think this is just a good idea. We're actually trying to build community here. You've been calling somebody Dan and their name is Jim. That doesn't feel good, right? And we've all used the brother. How you doing, brother? Brother? No. Learn their names. We're going to give you a chance to do that here in just a moment. And this is important. This is very spiritual. This may be one of the most spiritual things I've ever asked you to do. Arrive a few minutes early and stay a few minutes late. If you're going to be part of a community where you're needed and known, you're actually going to have to come a little bit earlier and stay a little bit later. Now, you guys kind of notice what happens on Sundays, right? I give the blessing, and I almost sprint back here trying to get to that door. You say, why are you going so fast? Because there are so many people dead set on getting out of here the very minute we say amen. I mean, I'm running just to try to say hey to them. They're already in the parking lot. And here's this other phenomenon I've noticed. I've stayed back in the vomitory in these hallways the last few Sundays, just kind of watching. There are people still coming to church at 20 after. And I know people got kids and people got stuff, but I'm just saying, come on, man. Listen, if you arrive late and you leave early, nobody's going to know your name. Right? You're like, nobody cares. We didn't have a chance. 5 minutes, a little earlier, stay a little bit later, can make a world of difference. I'm not talking about giving an extra hour. 5 minutes before, 5 minutes after, make a world of difference, all right? Here we go. Number six, engage those sitting around you. I'm not talking about in marriage. I'm talking about make time to know the people who are sitting around you. You say, why should you do that? Because I want to show you something. Watch this. How many of you sit in the same section every Sunday? Raise them up. Come on. Look at that. Don't put them down, please. You sit in the same section. Some of you sit in the exact same seat. Now, I want you to notice, basically, that's probably 70 to 80% of you. What would happen if every time you came to church, you just made it a point to introduce yourself to the people around you? Just to know their name. It's almost like you could become your little small group. We're floor section on the left, blah, 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 you know. Yeah. You could get team shirts and colors and paint. And watch this. Well, I got to keep going, all right? So, cool stuff. Join a small group or start one for new people. Join a small group or start one for new people. Remember, that's what they did in Acts chapter 2. They went to the temple, but they were also in each other's homes. Come on, somebody. If you truly want to become connected, you've got to take the risk of getting involved in other people's lives. And so we want to encourage you to join a small group. You say, Pastor, where do I start? Well, let me start with this. Tracy and I lead a small group when we have small group nights, which is tonight. So at 6 p.m. tonight, we're going to be having a small group in room 110. All right? You come to our group. Give us a shot. You know, there'll be food there. I'll be there. Tracy will be there. And I saw some of my small group homies around here. Karen will be there, right? Matthias will be there. And so we'll be there. And just give us a chance. Bring your kids if you want to. We've got childcare for them. And we want you to be part of our group. Some of you need to be leading a group. And you can start a group. And you can talk to Tracy and say, hey, I want to start a group because people need to get connected. Good preaching, Pastor Wayne. Thank you very much. I just want you to know, every time I have to say that, the sermon lasts longer. Serve on a ministry team. You need to be needed. God created you for ministry. So serve. Find a place to serve. Everybody's got a gift. Everybody's got a talent. And you say, where are you going to find that? Well, that's part of the growth track. Growth track is 4 classes. It takes place on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And it's step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4. Every class is 90 minutes. You only have to go through it one time. And that's where you learn about the vision of the church. That's how, if you want to become a member, you become a member. That's how you learn about small groups. That's how you find out where you're gifted and talented and where you can meet a need. Now, I've got some really good news for all of you. You didn't know this, but next Sunday is step 1. And you don't even have to register. You just show up. and you can be part of Growth Track. You say, why are we doing this? Can I tell you why? It's because God created us for this. God created us to be a community of believers serving our community and serving one another. How many believe this? Do you see that it's right there in the Bible? And all it takes is for us is a little bit of intentionality. We've got to decide to get out of our comfort zone, and we're going to take a risk. We're going to know somebody. We're going to allow somebody into our lives. Now, here's something very cool, and we're almost done, and I want you to hear this. This is how miracles happen. I want you to notice in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says signs and wonders followed them. Now, we know that that is directly related to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And after Easter, we're going to spend like 6 weeks talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm excited about that. But I want you to notice that it had as much to do with the power of community. See, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, let me illustrate it this way. A few Wednesday nights ago, I was talking about this very thing. What I'm talking to you today, I shared on a Wednesday night a few weeks ago, right when I got back from this trip. And I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the last 5 minutes of this Wednesday night service, and I just want you to spend 5 minutes. I don't want you to talk to anybody that you know. I want you to find somebody that you don't know, and I just want you to have a conversation with them. And it needs to be more than a surface conversation. How's the weather? And I hope Kentucky loses and stuff like that, spiritual stuff like that. Come on, somebody. And just have a conversation. And can I tell you what happened? Some awesome things began to happen in that room. Somebody got a job out of it through that connection. Somebody got right with God out of it. All kinds of good stuff. As a matter of fact, after the 9 o'clock service, somebody texted me. Watch this. Today, when we did this, they said the lady behind us named Mary just found out she was healed of cancer. So happy. She was so happy because that was her prayer request during 21 days of prayer and fasting. Somebody give God praise for that today. Now, what happened? It wasn't the sermon. It wasn't the worship. It was the people of God activating this thing called community that's God's idea, and miracles begin to take place. That's powerful stuff. You see, the enemy works so hard to keep us separated, wants us to be spectators, and I'm challenging you as a church, let's not be like that. Let's be a place where everyone is needed and everyone is known. And the only way that happens is if we all say, I'm going to take ownership. I'm going to do some of these things you suggested. And I'm going to help make our church a family. So here's the altar call. Are you ready? Now, this altar call is not raise your hand and come forward. Here's the altar call today. We're going to institute something called the 5-minute rule. And the 5-minute rule looks like this. For the next 5 minutes after I say amen, don't talk to anybody you already know. I want you to find somebody you don't know, and I just want you to have a conversation with them for 5 minutes. I love that reaction. It's like I just asked for $1 million. You can do this. I promise you, you can do this. Now, I am going to give one group of people an out. Okay, the only group of people that you don't have to do this is if you're here for the very first time. And we understand some of you are clapping like, praise God. I'm very excited. I don't have to do this. You know, but if you've been here more than once, remember, we already adopted you. You're part of our church. And so here, you're going to be tempted to be like the culture and just rush through this and get out the door and all of that. But I challenge you. Do this with intentionality. You know, talk about what God's saying. Talk about what's happening. If the opportunity for prayer comes up, take time to pray together. And I'm not saying you have to, but if that opportunity arises, do it. Let's give God a chance to work in our church like he did in Acts chapter 2. Are you getting this today? No. Are you getting this today? I'm going to preach it all over again right now if you don't say amen. For the next 40 minutes, we're going to go along today. No, I'm not. All right. I just want you to know something. Tracy and I love being your pastor. We just love it. It's what we were made to do. It's what God called us to do. I love preaching. I love ministering. I love praying. I love every one of you. But the reality is, it is impossible for us to know everybody in a way that they need to be known. And that's not the model of Acts chapter 2 anyway. The model is for all of us to take responsibility and to encourage, to pray, to share, and to be part of the family of God. Now, I thought about a couple of theme songs for this part of the service, and I found an old Gaither song. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family. But I chose not to do that. Then I thought we could go with Sister Sledge and we are family. Decided not to go there either way. And of course, on the way after the 9 o'clock service, several people saying, well, you should have sang, you know, a place where I'm losing my microphone. Oh. So Adam, you don't like this preaching? Is that what you're saying? Wrap it up, he says. All right, everybody stand. 5 minutes. I was tempted to put a clock on the screen, but I trust you better than that. All right? Don't leave. 5 minutes. Are you ready? Somebody you don't know, you already have a name tag on. 5 minutes starting now. Go.